So obviously, here's the question for tonight. It should be up there. Jesus, how can I love you more? But that's an easy question, so I want to ratchet it up a bit. Here's a harder question. So my son, who shall remain nameless, he's got this friend that he plays online with, computer games, right? And this friend of his, who shall also remain nameless, is not sure that Christianity is true. In fact, he thinks it's probably not true. And so he says to my son, I don't think there's enough evidence. Where's the proof that Jesus is true? I don't think there's enough evidence. And so my son comes to me and says, Dad, what would you say to someone who says, where's the proof? How do you have enough evidence that Christianity is true? Now, that got me thinking. And then I thought of this passage. And here's the thing I want us to think about. How would you prove Jesus to someone? And the answer is, well, it's impossible. Because here's the thing. What do you want to do? Do you want to prove 2 + 2 = 4 to someone? And they go away saying, okay, well, so it's true then. See, that's not what Jesus is after. If Jesus wanted everyone to simply believe, don't you think he would stand here and pull a rabbit out of his pocket? Then everyone would believe, right? But Jesus is not about convincing people, because it's not about here. It's about here. Jesus has given enough evidence so that those who love him will be persuaded. But those who don't love him will never have enough evidence. I'm going to show it to you. In case you think that's about, let me show it to you. And in our story, we've got three people. And all we're going to do is we're going to treat it like a story, because it is a story. This is something that happened. We're going to look at each of those people, who they are. We're going to look at what they did. And then we're going to look at Jesus and how he contrasts them and responds to him. And all three are, I'm just going to put all three up, because then I won't have to remember to go to the next slide. Because here it is. First character is a Pharisee. The Pharisee doubts much because he is self-righteous. I'm going to show you this, and then I'll answer our question. The woman loves much because she's forgiven. And thirdly, Jesus forgives much because he is God. And I'll show it to you. So let's look at it together. First of all, the Pharisee. Look at this. Verse 36. One of the Pharisees. Now, what? So you're thinking, what's a Pharisee? Is that like a Docker supporter? What's a Pharisee? Well, it's not a thing, it's not a word we use often, because no one is a Pharisee today, so we never use it. But back in the day, this was the religious guy. This was the guy who knew the Bible. He knew the Old Testament off by heart. This is a believer in God. Absolutely believes in God. This is someone you want to be like. He's moral. He's a good guy. He's got he's got a whole lot of kids that he supports in compassion. His daughter's at ECU. His son's like with Wace, you know, head whatever, hockey player, I don't know. What do they do at Wace? You know, this is a guy who's made it. You want to be like this guy. He is like the upper echelons. And most of all, he's acceptable to God because he's a good guy. He doesn't cheat on his wife. He's faithful to his wife. And he pays his taxes. And he doesn't do burnouts at night. This is a good man. He is a religious performer. So you're thinking to yourself, this guy must be acceptable to God, right? Well, more than that, because he even likes Jesus. Look at verse 36. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come and eat with him. So he goes to the Pharisee's house, which just shows Jesus will go anywhere, and reclines at table. What you've got is a guy. Why do you think he invited Jesus? I think, and I'll show you why later, I think he's checking him out. He's like open-minded. Are you real, Jesus? Well, why don't you come to my house? Let's have a burger. Let's talk about it. Watch what happens. So behold, a woman of the city was a sinner. When she learned that he was at the table in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster flask of ointment, Standing behind him at his feet, we'll look at this later, weeping, she began to wet his feet with tears, wiped them with the hair of her head, kissed his feet, anointed them with ointment. Now watch what he does. So we know who the Pharisee is. Watch what he does. Now, when this Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw this, look at this. He says this to himself. If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. Here's what the Pharisee is. He's a judger. He is self-righteous. He has looked at Jesus, and you know what he's concluded? It's not enough proof for me. There's not enough evidence. Jesus is sitting here, and he lets this, I suppose I should call her a woman, but like this thing, because that's what he's thinking, right? This thing is, and if Jesus was any kind of prophet, he wouldn't be hanging around with lowlifes like this. Here's what happens. He has this idea of Jesus, and Jesus doesn't fit his criteria. Like my son's friend. If God were there, he would do, and then I would, but, you see, he's got expectations. And Jesus is not fitting in with these expectations. So he's concluding Jesus is a fake. He's not a real prophet. By the way, you don't have it in front of you. But the context of this, in fact, Dan looked at it a while ago, is that the previous whole chapter, Jesus has proved he is so a prophet. He's healed the blind. The Pharisee's seen all of this, but it's still not good enough. Here's the point. If you're self-righteous, nothing God does will convince you. Nothing. Because watch what happens. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said to him, by the way, I don't want to go into it, but it is amazing how religion always rejects sinners. If you're a sinner here tonight, and I take it there's one or two, all of us, I want you to know religion's not for you, because religion rejects sinners. But anyway, watch what happens. Verse 40, Jesus answered him and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. By the way, can you see Jesus just proves he is a prophet? He knows exactly what Simon's thinking. How did you know what's in my head? You don't think my son's friend who's going, there's not enough proof. You don't think Jesus knows, I know what you're saying. I know everything you're saying. Simon, I got something to tell you. And he answered, say it. Teacher, ooh. So you're not the Lord. You're not a prophet. You're a teacher. That's not a bad thing, right? Watch what happens. A certain moneylender, verse 41, had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. So here's the bottom line. Look, numbers is not my game. But as I figure it out, one owes 10 times more than what the other one owes. Is that right? That's right. And Now here's a question. Look at verse 42. When they could not pay, look at this. This is amazing. He canceled the debt of both. Who do you think would do that? Why would you do that? Now, which of them will love him more? And Simon answered, and you've got to see the language, the one, I suppose, for whom he is. He can't even, it's reluctant. He doesn't even want to be, he's like, okay then. You know, he's reluctant. I suppose the one for whom he canceled the larger debt. Now listen to what Jesus says. You have judged rightly. That's the first time you've made a good judgment call, Simon. You've judged everything wrong. Well done. You got that one wrong. But here's what I want to show you. Look at what Jesus says. What is the difference between the one who owes 50 and the one who owes 500? What's the difference? Look at verse 42. What's the difference? There's no difference. When they could not pay. I don't care if you owe $1 trillion or if you owe $1. If you can't pay, you can't pay. They're in the exact same boat. Jesus is saying, Simon, you're stupid. I know you're a good guy. I know you're not a prostitute. I know that. And yes, she's a prostitute. I know that. But can't you see you're in the same boat? Can't you see you can't pay me back? Just like she can't. She stuffed her life up. She owes more. That's true. But you both can't pay me back. And that's why, Simon, you'll never believe in me. See, here's the thing. If you think you're righteous and Jesus must prove himself to you, you're never going to believe. You will never come to believe until you realize, wait a minute, I need forgiveness. I'm in trouble here. What I said to my son was, go back and tell your friend that Jesus is hiding himself from him. Jesus is not, until you realize that you need Jesus and that you need to be forgiven, you're never going to believe in Jesus. Never. And so the Pharisee doubts much. Do you know why? There's lots of proof. Because he's self-righteous. His self-righteousness has made him blind. And when you think you're okay, you will never find Jesus because it makes you blind. Now, that's the Pharisee. Let me show you the woman. And you, if you had the human race, you Pharisee, you couldn't go to a further extreme than this woman. They are poles apart. The woman loves much because she's forgiven. Look at this. Verse 37. And behold, a woman of the city who was a sinner. So this is a euphemism for prostitute. So religious, upright, standing, nice guy with clean clothes and prostitute. It poles apart. And she learned that Jesus was reclining a table in the Pharisee's house. She brought an alibi. Now, do you realize how brave she's being? You don't go to a Pharisee's house if you're a prostitute, do you? That's like going to church. That's hard. That's for geeks. I mean, can you imagine? She's going to be a prostitute. And now she's going to the bishop's house. Ooh. With all the religious people. That's not where I belong. That's not where. And what happens if I go there and a customer spots me? That would be awkward. You know, she is being. Here is someone who's not saying, Jesus, prove yourself to me. Here is someone who is doing the incredibly brave thing. She's going. And look what she does. She brought an alabaster flask of ointment. Now, look, I don't know the math. How many men do you have to sleep with to buy an alabaster flask of ointment? I don't know. But you get what I'm saying. This is not cheap. This woman is giving a lot. And standing behind Jesus at his feet, she starts to cry. Ooh, this is not the polite Pharisee saying, let's have some theological discourse here, Jesus. This is a woman who's gone in. She's so brave to go. I don't know, maybe she got through the bouncers because of, I don't know. And she goes in, she stands and she tries to get, she's not going, Jesus, come and prove yourself to me. She's going to Jesus. And not only did she find him, she's standing there beside him and then it happens. And you know you promised yourself it's not going to happen. And then it always happens. She starts to cry. And she's going, keep it together, girl. And like what my mascara is, you know, like this is going to, this I'm going to look like cake face. This is just horrible. You know, and she just can't hold it in. And she starts to cry. And then she's overcome. Once you know, once it starts, you can't stop it, right? And she began to wet his feet with her tears and wiped them with the hair of her head. And aren't you reading this and going, people back then are weird, eh? No, this is not normal. This is weird then as much as it is weird today. This is outrageous. This woman is having a breakdown. And she kisses his feet and anoints him with her ointment. Now, straight away the religious people judge her, because that's what religious people do. They're very good at judging. And they judge her. Now, here's what I want you to notice. Look what Jesus says to her. What Jesus does, actually, is he compares them. Look at verse 44. Then turning toward the woman, Jesus said to Simon, look at these words, everyone. Do you see this woman? Think about that. Yeah, of course. It's right in front of me. Look, her hair's everywhere. No, no, says Jesus. Do you see this woman? See, what do you see when you look at this woman, Simon? I know what you see. You see a loser. You see a prostitute. Do you see this woman? Because Jesus sees grace. He sees not her sin. He sees what she can become by grace. It's amazing how Jesus sees us so much better than religion sees us. He's so gracious. And he looks at his, Simon, do you see this woman? Now watch what Jesus does. He compares them. I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she, from the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she, can you use three times, you, but she, you, but she, you know what you're doing? You're sitting there going, where's the proof, Jesus? And she is loving me. Look what she did. You know, so you didn't give me water. She gave me water from her eyes. You gave me no kiss, which he probably did. You know, the middle, you know, the Middle Eastern thing, which is what Judas, you know, I always say that Jesus doesn't need your lip service. That's a bad joke. But you know, don't just give me, she's kissing my feet. She's not being polite. She's being real. And you didn't anoint my head with oil, but she anointed me with ointment. Everything. What's the difference? Her attitude to Jesus is a million times, more than 500 to 50, better than the self-righteous Pharisee's attitude to Jesus. She thinks Jesus is everything. And here's the clincher, verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. There's our answer. How do you love Jesus more? When you realize how much he has forgiven you. And just like that, Jesus just is stooped in grace. He's so kind. And when you realize how kind he's been to you, just to forgive all your sins, like that, you will love him more. And the more you realize how sinful you are, the more you will love him. But that wasn't my question. You want to believe in Jesus? Look in the mirror. Have a look at what a sinner you are, and you will start finding Jesus. Because he's only for sinners. He's not for self-righteous people. Well, I guess that leaves us the third person. Pharisee doubts much because he's self-righteous. Woman loves much because she's forgiven. Jesus forgives much. Why? Because he's God. Look at Jesus. First of all, I mean, how's verse 37, 38, 39? Okay, so you're sitting at Varsity Bar in Joondalup, right? And this prostitute comes in. And, you know, hopefully she doesn't notice me. I don't want to talk to her. You know, just now someone will see me talking to a prostitute. And she comes straight at you. What are you going to do? Obviously, you know. So, Mike, as I was saying, she's coming closer. Don't touch me. And then she starts crying and washing. What are you going to do? Come on. You're just going to sit there? You are going to go, ew. Here's what I love about Jesus. Just look at him. He just accepts it. What? He just drips with grace. He just accepts it. Just accepts her like that. Oh, wait. What would Muhammad do? Well, obviously she must be stoned. She's a prostitute. Honor killing. She must die, obviously. What would the Buddha do? Oh, well, look. You know you've messed up, but don't worry. You're going to die. And you're going to come back, and you can try again. What would a religious person do? Hey. Look, we don't mind you coming here, but go fix your life up. Sort yourself out, and then you can come. Don't you love Jesus? Just accept her. Just accept her. Like that. It's grace. And more than that, look what he does. Verse 48. And Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." I beg your pardon. Mustn't she give you some money or something? He just forgives. Why do you think Jesus can forgive sins just like that? Because he knows, not long from this, couple of months time, he's going to go and he's going to die on that cross. Everything she did, he's going to carry upon himself. That's what love does. That's what grace does. He takes all her sin and he goes to the cross and he dies in her place for her. Every other man has paid her for services. Jesus will give his life for her. He's the real man. He's just steeped with grace. But verse 49, then those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" So yes, a question for you tonight. Who is this? Is this an angel? Who is Jesus? And that's what I want to say to my son's friend. You ask for proof. I've got a genuine question for you. Who's Jesus? That's all. Just tell me who Jesus is. Who is Jesus that he can just forgive sins? Well, the answer's obvious. Jesus forgives much because he is God. He has that authority and he's steeped with grace. And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." It is a beautiful story of God's grace and love, that Jesus should be a man, that he should be at a table, that he should be hanging out with a prostitute, that he should receive her, forgive her, and love her. Now the question for us tonight is, Jesus, how can I love you more? Well, easy. Do you know what a sinner you are? Ask him to show you. And then as you realize that, and you realize his love and acceptance of you, your love for him will grow. But more, do you think there's enough proof that there really is a God? Depends whether you think you're a sinner or not. If you're self-righteous, yeah, sorry. Even if God came here and did a handstand, you wouldn't believe in him. But those of us who know we're sinners, we know there's a God, and he's gracious and kind.